Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language and offensive content. These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Jaded HR, a podcast by two former human resources co-workers who just want to help you get through the workday by saying all those things you are thinking. Say them out loud. I'm Patrick Consilis.
And I'm Warren Workman.
Gobble, gobble.
It's Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, Warren.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm looking so forward to this long weekend. I took the Black Friday off.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I got to burn some PTO. We have a use it or lose it PTO policy, and all my vacations got canceled for 2020, so I'm just sort of burning some days here, burning some days there, and a Black Friday was an easy call to add to the list to put a PTO day on.
Nice. Well, hopefully no one is actually listening to this episode on Thanksgiving, so I'm going to think of this episode as some delicious leftovers, so if you have to work on Friday or maybe you just need a little bit of that jaded take, we can be that, those delicious...
What was that? Ross's sandwich?
I was just going to say Ross's sandwich with the moist... We're your moist maker. Just think of Jaded HR as your moist maker. And you can take that any way you want.
But don't let anyone steal it from your fridge.
I do. The Thanksgiving sandwich with a little bit of stuffing, turkey, cranberry.
I learned it from you. I don't know where I learned it from. But you take the stuffing and put it in a waffle press, and then you make that your bread for your sandwich.
Yes, we have a coworker who is the one that shared that with us.
Okay.
I'll even give her credit. Lisa, it's brilliant. We've still done it.
I've been doing it since. Take the stuffing, put it in a waffle maker.
Yes.
That becomes
it's
the bread for your next sandwich.
Crispy and amazing.
Yes. Awesome.
So I guess welcome to another episode of Jaded HR, the food edition, where we just kind of go on tangents on all the different amazing food we have.
We don't ever go on tangents.
No, but I'll jump right into one of mine just because it was kind of a quick. I just went onto Reddit and looked up Thanksgiving HR dilemmas, and I didn't really find a whole lot. I found a lot of weird things that just happened to have the word Thanksgiving in it from like a timeline perspective. But I did find a post on the Ask HR subreddit by user McFly1999, and he said, "Thanksgiving activities and ideas. Hi, guys. Do you have any Thanksgiving activities or ideas for virtual setup? Thank you in advance." Pretty simple question, right? Like, just looking for ideas.
Yeah.
What's the smile? Warren, you got a smile.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm wondering what has happened with that simple request.
Well, there's only one person responded, and it was kind of like, it was a non-answer. It said, from Reddit user professional still, "Organizing holiday events for the workplace isn't really an HR responsibility. Some organizations task their HR person with doing it, and more commonly, the general manager also handles HR stuff and would plan a party. But this is not an HR question. This is a party planning question."
Take it to the party planning committee.
So, I guess I thought this is just an interesting little Thanksgiving topic. It's probably the only Thanksgiving topic we'll have on our Thanksgiving episode. But, you know, HR does do a lot of these things, at least from like maybe an employee engagement scenario. We've talked about, at least during the pandemic, HR kind of being that vessel to help coordinate some of these
virtual
morale boosters, if you will, especially if you have a lot of remote people and you don't get that interaction. Like we used to always bring in food and do different things, and you kind of miss that camaraderie. So I do kind of see that as an HR employee engagement initiative kind of perspective.
Yeah, I agree with that. And no, I don't want to be HR to be the party planning committee, but you can set it up. You can find better people than yourself to engage and make this happen and find the right people to make it happen well. So No, I have no problem with HR being involved, but not as the quote-unquote party planning committee, unless they really want to. I that's not my cup of tea. It's not one of my strengths.
I think this Reddit user is just very, he's jaded. He probably should be a listener. He's like, I'm so tired of people thinking of HR as like the lady who keeps the party boards and all the planning and does the whatever the stereotypical HR lady is. But I think that's what this person is trying to maybe avoid.
Yeah. Well, I have something. It's not Thanksgiving related, but it's current events. I read about it late last week, and then I saw it this morning on CNN. But somewhere in Iowa, there is an HR manager director sitting there saying, I told you so. And all so right. This story comes from, I originally read it in the Iowa Capital Dispatch, but there's a person who passed away due to COVID. He worked at Tyson's Food, and over 1,000 or one-third of their employees at that particular plant contracted COVID. And here are some of the allegations of the lawsuit. Tyson required its employees to work long hours in cramped conditions without providing appropriate personal protective equipment and without ensuring workplace safety measures were followed. It gets better, though. The plant manager, Tom Hart, organized a cash buy-in, winner-take-all betting pool for supervisors and managers to wager how many plant employees would end up testing positive for COVID-19. And another upper-level manager, John Casey, is alleged to have explicitly directed supervisors to ignore symptoms of COVID-19, telling them to show up to work even if they were exhibiting symptoms of the virus. He reportedly referred to COVID-19 as a glorified flu, and not to worry about it because it's not a big deal and everyone's going to get it. Casey intercepted a sick supervisor who was on his way to be tested and ordered him back to work, saying, we all have symptoms, you have a job to do. And in March and April, plant supervisors falsely denied the existence of any confirmed cases. Tyson's ended up paying a $500 thank you bonus for employees who showed up every day during their shift for those 3 months, a policy decision that incentivized workers to come in sick and keep reporting to work. So pretty interesting case. But I want to look at it in two ways. A, it's awful. But B, listen to our COVID episode from April. We recorded sometime in March. And, you know, we didn't know exactly what we were dealing with. And, you know, in March and April.
Clearly.
We still don't know. In March and April, how many people did? Now, unfortunately, this person was one of a few people who died out of that Tyson's plant in Iowa. But yes, I think the employer has a significant degree of liability in this case. If someone's sick, regardless if it's COVID or not, making them stay on the line and then taking a pool, how many people are going to get that? You know, a lot of bad practices here, and I can only see.
Yeah, people think fantasy football in the office is bad. And then we got this.
Fantasy football, you're going to beat me at scheduled by 1/10 of a point this week if tonight's game goes as planned, but we'll see. I might actually win another game this season. Who knows? But no, I can only imagine any HR person with any amount of experience saying, no, please stop, don't, you know, and getting the Toby treatment of get out of here, you suck, go away. Wow. I can't, you know, it's one thing to misclassify it as a glorified flu or things like that, but it's another to put a betting pool on it and return sick people directly to the line. You know, that's just, regardless whether it's the regular flu or if it's, you know, something else, some other, you know, ailment that's going around the office, you need to take appropriate precautions.
Yeah, there's just so much going on there. It's hard to even, and there are all like allegations and stuff too, but like you gotta figure those things aren't just coming out of left field. Like, and there's been reports of a lot of companies, I think, doing these kind of things. And it's sad when you don't have that leadership at the top that can take things seriously and their employees' lives seriously. And that's a lot of reason why, like, an HR person clearly didn't step in. And it's, I'm going to go on some tangents later because it's the rep of HR that tends to fall to the wayside sometimes on a lot of these issues, because why didn't they do something? It's because they think of human as resources and blah, 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 blah.
And... Right. And but it could also go, maybe that particular plant's culture is not to be supportive of HR. Maybe they have more of an admin level HR person whose job is just to be the perfunctionary administrative, make sure the time sheets get entered, make sure everybody gets paid, do these reports. No,
that's a big company, proactive. Though. I got to think they got more than that. But yeah,
for 3,000 employees, yeah, I would think they'd have a team. You know, what's the ratio supposed to be? 1 to 150, 1 to 200? I mean,
yeah,
they should probably have a decent sized team there. But wow, I would love to know the story from the HR person's point of view and what they were screaming and no and don't and please think this over. Let's get rid of, you know, this pool might not be fun, but it's probably not the best idea. Like I said, even if you don't know what you're dealing with back then and think it's a glorified flu or, you know, it's nothing, no, you'll get it and get over it. But wow.
Yeah, it's terrifying to think that these kind of things go on. There's a lot of evil in this world.
Evil. So you have something on arriving to an interview on time?
Yeah, so I started down a Reddit rabbit hole. It was a new rabbit hole that I haven't ventured into much because the regular Ask HR subreddit wasn't really doing it. So I found a subreddit called Recruiting Hell.
I follow that one, so okay. I may have seen this. Let's see.
So Recruiting Hell is like stories from some recruiters. Most of it seems to be from angry candidates. Mm-hmm. I think there are some feel-good stories on there, but not a whole lot that I could find. So it's possible you've seen this one, but it was a post from Reddit user Yistin Z, and it's a letter that they allegedly got from a recruiter. And you gotta, one thing about Reddit, you always have to take the great words, I believe, of Abraham Lincoln. He said, you have to trust everything you read on the internet.
Absolutely.
So, this is hi, name crossed out. My apologies for the confusion just now as you arrive for the interview with blank at 11 a.m. I understand you live close, just up the road, and are looking for a job with full-time hours. Unfortunately, we would not consider employing someone in a full-time capacity that arrives to an interview exactly on time. Maybe arriving a little earlier to future job interviews would show the employer that you are keen. Wishing you all the best with your job search. Kind regards. Name crossed out.
Wow. There's got to be more to this story. Did they run in from the parking lot in a full sprint and sweating and out of breath? Oh, I'm here to meet Patrick for an interview. You know, and they got there right at 11. Or, you know, hey, you know, if they're there on time, they're there on time. Hell, I wasn't even on time to work today, so.
Yeah, but you have the job, so you're not trying to impress anyone at this point.
I still hate being late.
So, yeah, it's, again, you don't know how real this thing is. I didn't see a company, it wasn't a typed out letter with company letterhead, it was whatever, but you gotta imagine there could be, that this happens sometimes. Maybe a recruiter was having a bad day and this person was just showed up, and maybe they were waiting thinking an interview had just finished early, and they're like, well, maybe this next person will get here at 10:45 and then knock this out, and they didn't, and who knows. But yeah, it's a unfortunate circumstance if that is true, I guess.
Yeah, and if it is true, you're better off not being there. So
exactly, so that's another thing to take from this, is you dodged a bullet on that one.
Exactly, yeah. You'll get written up for being to work on time. Although I have had to have a conversation with the employee. Being to work on time does not mean walking in the door on time. It means being at your workstation ready to go on time. And that was just a mystery of the universe. They were not ready to accept at that time. Well, I was here. Well, you weren't at your workstation ready to go.
Had
that discussion. But now I think they dodged a bullet. But speaking of interviews, I had the topic of courtesy interviews on my list today. And if you've been in HR for any period of time, you've done a courtesy interview. Knock on wood, I haven't done one in a very long time. I can't tell you the last time, but I saw something somewhere about doing courtesy interviews. And I just wanted to, you know, express my, you know, frustration with courtesy interviews. I'll do them because basically it's someone above my pay grade telling me, oh, you need to interview this person. So aye, Captain, I'll do them. But there really are a waste of time for everybody involved, from the recruiter or the interviewer, for the person coming in, even for the person who sets it up. Because I've over the many times I have done courtesy interviews, nothing's ever become of any of them. It's not like, oh, you know what? You would be perfect for this job we don't have, or something like that.
But, that was going to be my question. How often does this ever turn into something real?
You know, and maybe in other organizations where they have more flexibility, or they can hire, you know, you're looking for soft skills versus hard skills or something like that. It might be able to work, but it's generally speaking, when I've done them, it's been like somebody's friend or kid's nephew or something like that, that they want in there. But, you know, it always ends out the same. You know, it's a real pleasure to meet you. And I don't mix any words in it. I let them know that it's really not going to go anywhere when I've done them. It's, you know, pleasure to meet you. I don't see anywhere we can put your experience to work for us. I'll be sure to let whomever know, whoever sent them know, that we met and you had a great interview. And I'll keep my eyes open for anything that might come up in the future. And I sort of leave it at that. But, you know, that you wasted that person's time, got their hopes up, and now they're going to be pinging the hiring manager, whoever the name is, the person they know. Hey, Patrick, do you know about how this went? Or do you know if there's going to be follow-up or follow-through or, you know, anything that's going to come up? You know, it's just not a good situation. But so many times, and like I said, I can't remember the last time I've done one, but courtesy interviews are horrible, people. If there's a way you can politely get out of them, do so. But like I said, they're usually coming from higher above that, oh, this is my next door neighbor's son, and he's looking for a job in taxidermy, but we're an engineering firm. See what you can do. Okay.
Yeah. That person could just use the advice from another recruiting hell post. I really did go down the rabbit hole, and I kind of started finding funny memes. So it's not really a meme podcast, but this one just cracked me up. So it seemed to be coming from someone who maybe was just getting frustrated with the job search. And it was looks like a tweet from K.E. Sharp. It said, tomorrow, just wake up, wear your formal clothes, go to any company and start working. If they call the police, go to the police station and start working there too. We're tired of sending CVs.
That's an idea to do it. What's her name from The Office? The redhead British lady who was from Doctor Who. That's how she got her job. She just showed up and started doing it.
I thought of that. And then this actually was also posted in the Shitty Life Pro Tips subreddit. Okay. Someone said, yeah, just walk into the CEO's office, sit there. You're the CEO now. And it made me think of, what was that movie with Tom Hanks? He was the captain of the ship that got, like, taken over by pirates. Did you ever see that?
Oh,
Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips.
And the pirate walks in, and he says, hey, look at me, look at me. I'm the CEO now. you just pull that.
Yeah, that's not a good best practice there.
Well, it could be. I mean, hey, you never know.
I'm sure you don't somewhere know until in history you try. It's worked for somebody. You had another one that sparked my interest, and I told my wife about it. As you know, she's been doing payroll for the last, 12 years or more with another company. Tell me about your
So this wasn't payroll. Yeah, so we did have a quick just payroll one, and we've talked about the infinitesimal PTO numbers. So this is kind of a similar thing. We had a Reddit post, SpicyPeaches01 on the AskHR subreddit. Said, I just noticed some of my paychecks are a penny off. Some weeks I get paid xxx.92 cents, and some weeks I get paid cents. Should I bring this up to HR? Now, I will commend this person for not bringing it up to their HR person, but for asking an HR subreddit and preventing an actual HR person from having to deal with this.
I will agree with you on that, but I'm already, wanting to fire this person.
So luckily there was a happy Reddit user, TrailerHR, that said this is probably the way their payroll system gets you to the correct annual salary, which I know my personal paychecks will sometimes fluctuate because if you have 24 pay periods, you have to divide it, and you have to, if you're a salary worker, you have to sometimes get to that salary a certain way, and it's usually by pennies.
And then when you cross, you know, another time you cross tax brackets, your pay could change. Or another time, if you're a highly compensated individual, which I'm not, but after you hit that Social Security minimum, then they stop withholding Social Security tax from you and things like that. So there's all sorts of reasons why your paycheck can change. There's been tax relief acts in the past and things like that. But there's two types of people in the world, and the people who look at their pay stubs and the people who don't. Yes. And then from those people who look at their pay stubs, there's ones who are just looking, seeking information, and there's those who are looking for a problem, some way that their company has screwed them yet again. That evil company has screwed you by a whole penny, the Lex Luthor penny scheme, direct deposits. Patrick and I are getting rich. Every one of our employees forever, we've been rounding it up or rounding it down and putting the rest in our account.
Has been so tempting. What is this strange direct deposit attached to my account? I didn't add it, and it looks like nothing's going there. It's a half fraction of a penny every time. That wouldn't really work that much if you're talking about like a biweekly payroll. You're getting a fraction of a penny. It's not like the Office Space scheme where like transactions are happening every second.
You misplaced the decimal.
That's a great movie.
Milton ends up in the Bahamas or some tropical island with all the money.
Luckily, this Reddit user just said, "Thank you, you saved me from asking a dumb question at work." So it really was a very innocent. There's so many times where I wish you could just tell an employee, "Did you look at your pay stub?" Because it would have answered all the questions that you sent me in this long diatribe of an email about where my money is going. Because pay stubs do give you a lot of helpful information that a lot of times we'll prevent some emails.
Yes, and thank you, Trailer HR, for setting that wayward soul straight and not having them contact their HR person.
Saved one person a little bit of a headache, although this person did seem reasonable, again, giving the employee the benefit of the doubt. They asked the question. Yes.
Yes.
Good all around.
Well, you know, I had wanted to talk about some basic truths of HR and going down the completely jaded rabbit hole here, because there's so many things that people don't realize when they get into HR. And the first thing I wanted to let people know, and going right off your payroll scheme or question there, scheme.
Yeah,
we haven't implemented it yet. That's just, but anyways, I wanted to talk about where HR ranks with employees among the various administrative departments. And I truly, truly think unobjectively that HR is at the bottom of the list of most employees when it comes to that. Now, I think we're just
good. I will provide you some supporting evidence in my next segment.
Okay. Well, I think just ahead of us at the other bottom rungs are going to be payroll. If you have a separate payroll department, because people treat payroll people like trash.
Which isn't that crazy? That's the whole reason you're there. That's the whole reason you're at work is so these people can do their jobs, because they're doing the one thing that you need.
The paycheck. Like,
yeah.
I worked somewhere and the payroll director had a sign in her office, "Don't piss me off, I'm the one who gets you paid." I love that. But other than that, I would say accounting is also at the, for expenses and expense reimbursements. And what I've seen from expenses and not getting them paid on time, the employee hasn't done whatever, something correctly. It's a user-created error, but they're going to get their pound of flesh from somebody. But I really think that these three departments are the most hated departments in a company through, and unfortunately, I think HR falls at the bottom of the list.
I completely agree.
And it leads me to another thing about a truth of HR. There's a Murphy's Law of HR. So when you make a mistake, it's never going to be with that super chill, understanding employee. They'll take it with a grain of salt. "Oh, cool. Thanks for letting me know. You know, you made this mistake. Thanks for letting me know. Oh, my gosh, this is the end of the world. And, you know, my dental deduction was 25 cents off this week, and I'm just going to die because of it." It's always going to be with that person who will make it worse by orders of magnitude. Not just, "Oh, that sucks," but they're just going to and then they're going to relish every moment where they can sit there. And so they're going to make it as painful for you as possible as they're telling you about how awful and how bad this situation this put them in and everything like that. So those were two truths of HR that I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of. If you haven't gotten into HR yet or anything, just be ready going into that, knowing that you are hated. Toby is real. And your accounting and payroll are not far behind you.
Yeah, and that really does segue perfectly into what will probably be my last topic, because I have a feeling this might be what we talk about the rest of the episode. But
okay.
I know I've talked before about how anytime HR is mentioned on Reddit, there is a whole circle jerk about how HR is only there for the company and they don't care about employees and all these different things. And from a basic HR standpoint, there is some technical truth to that in the sense of HR is there to keep the company out of legal trouble and on the right path and all that stuff. But I was going through recruiting hell, and there was a post by Reddit user Wholesome Chungi Keanu. Okay. And it was a lot of these posts are from LinkedIn. So this post title was "Finally a Sane Person on LinkedIn." And it said,
they found my profile.
Yeah, they did. No solicitations. It said, "Dear hiring managers, please stop asking 25-year-olds to have 15 years of industry work experience for entry-level jobs. Ask them if they will work hard and care about your company instead. I think you will get better results. Sincerely, this guy's name."
No.
So, and you got to remember, this is recruiting hell. So I guess a lot of people go here, people maybe who are, I don't know what your typical recruiting hell Redditor looks like, but I'm guessing it's people who are either recruiters that are probably jaded like us, or people that are just having trouble finding jobs and want to shit on recruiters. That's what most of what I see.
That's what I see a lot in there.
So there was a couple posts about, you know, companies not giving incentives to care about them. My first take on this LinkedIn post was, going back to a story you had on a previous episode, was, you know, you have the college interview, recent college graduates who are talking about, well, HR, you don't know about the technical specs of the job, so you shouldn't be interviewing me. And you've had that a couple times, and you see that all the time where people don't understand why HR is even doing the interview process because we don't necessarily know every single job in the company, which is fair.
Right.
But this person, and what all these recruiting hell Redditors are agreeing with, is exactly what HR is trying to do, is we are there to and look at a cultural fit necessarily and some of the other areas that aren't necessarily job specific. We're looking at
skills, experience, attitude, personality, cultural fit. Any list of soft skills that HR, and even non-soft skills, salary. If you're coming in wanting 100K, but our budget is 60K, we're not in the same ballpark. I can't, you know, if our budget is 60 and you're looking for 70, I'll probably still continue things forward just to see what happens. But if you're not in the same ballpark, I can't justify sending to a manager, "Hey, Patrick, take a look at this resume. It's just what you wanted, but, you know, 30,000 more than your budget."
Yeah. And but
that's just not reality.
Yeah. And that's a whole other conversation, but so that was my first thought on this post, was kind of going to that aspect of this guy is saying we need to be more touchy-feely and get away from all these technical aspects. And there's so many posts about, and it is kind of crazy, companies asking for all these different experience levels for very entry-level positions. But that's another thing. But as I was reading some of the comments, there was another comment from a Reddit user that just said, Reddit user Unam, who said, "That means HR actually has to think about something. They can't have that. What about the 69 meetings and 420 hours they put into coming up with archaic and unnecessary processes and templates? Think of HR." And then the next person just says, "Fuck HR. What about employee safety rights? Document it well, take the company to court, sue, and get rich. HR doesn't exist to protect anyone. They're the thugs of the corporate world."
Ooh, I'm living the thug life now.
"Here's hoping anyone from who works in HR sees this." I saw it. This person has since deleted their Reddit account because, for whatever reason, maybe they were
just a troll.
Or just a troll. But it's, if you go down, that same theme carries on and carries on through like a huge comment thread about, basically mirroring HRR, the thugs of the corporate world. And I don't know, doing a podcast and we're putting ourselves out there on the internet, luckily we don't really get a whole lot of critique, but it's one of those things where you got to have kind of a strong backbone and not take things to heart too much. But when you see comments like that, you're kind of like, man, like this whole industry has this perception of, I don't know, literally using humans as resources, like I said before, and not caring about the actual human in human and whatever these people are thinking. And it's like, man, if that's your perception, that's just such a, and it's not just one troll. It's a lot of people.
Oh yeah. I do follow that thread. I even posted on Reddit today for the first time, and like only my second post, I got a whole bunch of upvotes I saw on a notification. So no, I'm trying to get in on the Reddit, but no, Reddit as a whole is very anti-HR. That's something we have to just deal with as an HR person. Know that if someone coming in, they can be smiling to your face. They're thinking of you as the enemy, your 420 processes and things that you have to do. But generally speaking, there is a reason for processes and things like that. And what HR does, Lord knows there's, nobody has money in their budgets right now, you know, and during this time to have luxury items and do things just for shits and giggles, you know, maybe, you know, at the peak of the economy a few years ago and, oh yeah, let's have a cultural development team and let's have a this team and let's have a process improvement team. But now it's like, okay, those type of things have been stripped down. We got to get back to just bare bones, brass tacks while we just get through the current situation.
Yeah, and I like to think that right now people are stressed and panicky and anxious, and there's just a lot of unknowns and uncertainty. And so I give people the benefit of the doubt. It's just, for whatever reason, when I saw they're the thugs of the HR world, that kind of hit me a little bit, just because I know like so many people in this industry, and we've talked to a lot of people, and we're meeting new people because of this podcast. And you're like, these are all real down-to-earth humans as well, and they do care, and it's not, you don't join HR because you have this evil tendency, like, oh, I'm going to get these fuckers, like, or whatever. Like, that's not how it works. So and maybe this podcast will make it out to some people. They'll listen and be like, oh, these guys are, I don't know, we talk a lot of shit about employees too, so maybe this wouldn't be the best podcast. But it's because this is what we have to deal with. This is that perception that we are constantly struggling against, and it wears on us. So this podcast particularly is kind of hopefully an escape for HR people who are, yes, having to deal with this, and you can just nod your heads along as we talk about it
and send us those stories. Tell us your story. How has an employee or applicant abused you? How has
Reddit hurt your feelings?
See, I don't know if I can ever read one of those Reddits, and because I'm so cynical, I'm so jaded, I can't, you know, I tried to be nice in the post I made today. Somebody was talking about background checks, and they had a DUI a long time ago, but nobody's calling them. And someone before me posted, hey, they don't do a background check until an offer is made, and that's generally in accordance, yeah, with law and best practice for cost savings, if it's not the law in your locality. But also, you know, they don't have a team of people. Let's Google every applicant and find out. That's not a luxury they have to do. Find out, you know, who's Google every applicant. Now, sometimes, yeah, when you get to the final couple applicants, sure, I can see the manager or HR or somebody finding out as much as they can, especially for particular positions, about the person and seeing what they can find. But your average Joe, you know, it's not a, you know, having one flaw in your record is not going to kill you forever. So, yeah. And it is a tough economy out there. If you're trying to get a job, it can be pretty tough right now. And very fortunate that I'm still gainfully employed. And actually, we've done really well through this pandemic and growing in terms of business and hiring and things like that. But it's just a different world right now. And I hate being cliche about it, but yeah, it's uncharted territory for everybody.
Yep. And we keep just doing this free podcast.
Yes.
So, Warren, what can people do to help at least spread the word for us?
Spread the word. Tell your friends. I've said it before. we had just a few listeners in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and now it's like we must be the number one podcast, HR podcast in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and also Wisconsin. We've made it. We've exploded in Wisconsin. I can get national stats. I can't get statewide stats on our podcast. But yeah, the word is spreading. So continue to share with your friends about Jaded HR. Give us your stories. It's been a little while since we've had an employee story. And you know what? Christmas is coming. We may not have all the parties, but I'm sure we'll still have some great stories for coming out of it.
Hopefully some more Zoom Christmas shenanigans or something.
Yes, Zoom shenanigans. Let us know what happens for this Christmas. See, is this going to be a great Christmas for HR because we don't have to worry about the drunken parties and people grabbing other people's asses and things like that? Or is it going to be more of the same? I mean,
who knows?
It's going to be
an interesting one.
Absolutely. But also, please leave a review on your favorite podcast player. That's the number one way to spread the word. I'm looking so forward to the day I pull up our podcast or maybe even another podcast and say, listeners of this podcast also listen to Jaded HR. I'd love to see that on my app.
Absolutely. I'll take a quick second to thank the Underscore Orchestra for the use of their song Devil with the Devil that we use for our intro and outro music. And we always like to leave you all with a best practice. So, Warren, do you have one?
I'll have to punt to you.
That's fine. I have a best practice tonight. And it is to use one of those insert thermometers when you're cooking your turkey. Put it right in the breast. Set it to 163. And don't open the oven until it beeps. You don't want to rely on one of those pop-up whatever that comes in the grocery store. You want to use a nice thermometer. Invest in it. $15. Be the best choice you make for your yummy Thanksgiving turkey.
Man, that's a real best practice, dude.
It's a breast practice.
Breast practice. I caught it the first time. Oh,
thank you, everyone, so much for listening to another episode of Jaded HR. I'm Patrick Vasilis.
And I'm Warren Workman, and we're helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time. I didn't know if you misspoke at first or what. I was about to say something.
You never know.